What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the In the Cut Fantasy Sports Podcast. This is episode 38. We are switching things up a little bit. We went from kind of doing our positional reviews or previews, I should say, and it's kind of getting to be a little repetitive. There's a lot of other podcasts out there that are doing the same thing. So we're going to kind of switch up the format a little bit. We're going to kind of switch into kind of blending a couple positions together and not going over every single player. We're just going to go over five different players that we're kind of in on or kind of out on at their current price. So we got Ryan in the house again. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, Fish? Just run of the mill day. We're just going to keep on chugging along and go over our shortstop and third baseman.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Literally, it's going to be, kind of tough. But I'll get us started here. The first guy that I'm going to talk about is Francisco Lindor. I know a lot of people are in on him. I'm not for whatever reason. I was obviously burned last year. He went 30-30, but I don't know. He's going to pick 25. It's the second round. It's obviously a super expensive pick. He's not going to give you a great average. You know, last 3 years he's hitting 258. So it's like, you know, you're not going to get an elite average. And then he obviously stole 30 bases last year, but if you look at the years before that, now maybe it's the change of the rules. I think I need to see it again, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at. You got to nitpick when you're at this stage of the draft, cause there's just so much talent there. So, he does pile a lot of PAs. So you got to like that. He's going to get a lot of runs, a lot of RBIs hitting, in the middle of that Mets lineup. Right next to Big Meat Pete, but I don't know. There's just a couple things. I have some concerns about the stolen bases, returning to 30, and the batting average. So that's who I got for my first guy. What do you got for your first guy?
I just wanted to add on a little bit to Lindor. I feel like it's good to play both sides. I actually do like Lindor. He attempted 26 stolen bases the last 3 months of the season. That's really good for me to see. He had a career high barrel rate, career low ground ball rate, and a career high fly ball rate. He just never misses games. I get that it's not like a sexy pick, but I just feel like he's so reliable in terms of games played and production. But I do understand where you're coming from, like the batting average likely won't be plus. The stolen bases have a chance to be like 15, 17, 18 in that range. And it's not like what you want at that pick, but I just feel like the overall production is very safe, in my opinion. The first shortstop that I wanted to talk about is CJ Abrams. I see a lot of people on Twitter talking about like Abrams not being the hitter that they want to draft in like the second, third, fourth round, like not in terms of like fantasy production, but in terms of like a real life hitter. And I just want people to look at how little he played in the minor leagues. He played 42 games at Double A and 38 games at Triple A at 20 and 21 years old. He comes up to the majors in 2022, and he was bad. He's a 21-year-old that literally has never played in the minor leagues, pretty much. He had a combined – he played 110 games roughly combined his entire minor league career. Age 18, 20, 21, when he was 19, it was the COVID season. 3 years, he hardly played 110 games. And then he comes up to the majors. He stinks, as he should. He's basically a kid playing in Major League Baseball. And then next season, he makes massive steps forward. His ISO goes up almost 100 points. And he goes 18 and 47 And people are complaining that he's not the, like, because he's got a 90 WRC plus. It's like, dude, he's 22. He's just turned 23 years old. His career is just starting. Like, he's only going to get better. And the fact that he almost went 2050, his first full season in the big leagues, it's insane. 33 stolen bases in the second half of the season. 112 max EV with a 19% K rate. I don't know what else you want this guy to do. I really don't. And come main event time, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. He's like, his ADP is like 16 to 17. It's 40 right now. I don't know. Like, why should he? I love Ellie De La Cruz, but why should he go any picks later than Ellie?
Yeah, I'm in on Abrams as well. And he put up those numbers last year while hitting like bottom of half of the or bottom of the lineup for half the season. So yeah, I'm in on Abrams. See, like, this is kind of like what I was, you know, kind of getting at a little bit when I was talking about Lindor. Like, Lindor is probably going to hit 260. I think Abrams is probably going to come in at about 260. So give me the guy. And I know obviously the counting stats are going to be in favor of Lindor, but give me the guy who's got a chance to steal 60 bases. Like, I don't think that's out of the question for CJ Abrams. Go ahead.
No, I'd say you'd want the steals, the 50, 60 steals over the, you know, 20, 20, 25, 25 profile for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of mentioned it before. I don't know if it was the last pod or the pod before that, but I don't really chase RBIs in the early stages of the draft. I had so many targets in the middle of stages. I like to get my stolen bases out of the way, get my aces out of the way. And CJ Abrams is somebody who obviously does that and does it at a high level. And you're getting him right now in the third rounds with usually an elite hitter in the first round. Now I got him in one draft at the end of the fourth round, which was just a little bit, a little bit insane. Like, that was the easiest pick I think I made all draft season, but yeah. yeah. So like, you could go with a, you know, one of those elite five category bats and take your pick in the second round. You could go with an ace, maybe go with another, you know, maybe you start a three, hitter lineup, you know, maybe you take somebody like Pete Alonso and then get CJ Abrams. Like, I don't know. It allows you to do so much. You can go any direction you want with that second round pick when you take a guy like CJ Abrams in the third.
And it's funny to me that Steamer and these projection systems have him stealing less bases than he did last year. And I just don't get how you can regress a guy. And they're projecting for the same amount of plate appearances as he had last year. It's not like they're projecting for like way less plate appearances. Same amount of plate appearances, but they have his stolen bases regressing. And I just don't like why would that be? I don't really know. Especially because he stole, you know, 33 stolen bases in the second half of the season. Like, why? What makes you think he's going to steal less next year? I don't really understand. Especially on a really bad Nationals team, they're going to want him running a bunch to try to create runs. I don't know why he would ever steal less unless he gets hurt. But
yep, I agree.
Let's your second pick for shortstop.
So I got a guy right in that range, Bo Bichette. He's hit like 300 over the last 3 years. He's just the consistent elite batting average. It was kind of funny. We saw the run total be just so oddly down, 69 runs. Now, you know, it's because the Blue Jays whole lineup as a whole just tanked. And I mean, Vlad is obviously going to have a better year, I would think. You just got to think that Varsho wasn't good. It was his first year over with Toronto. You know, just the whole team, Kirk was a disaster. The whole team was just a disaster. It's what it was. But Bichette was still able to show the ability to hit 300. And I think he's going to score. I think he's got the ability to score, 100 runs, 100 RBIs, hit 300 and go 25 and 10. Now, he's not a big stolen base guy anymore. it appears. Now, he did have a couple injuries, the second half of the year last year, but I don't think we can rely on like 20 stolen bases or anything like that. But 10, 15 stolen bases, I think, are still in the cards. He's still young enough. He's 20, going to be 26 this year, right in his prime. Sign me up all day for Bichette where he's going. I've said before, just kind of in private chats, that if I ever was able to get Ronald Acuna, first of all, it'd be a miracle. But if I did get him, I think Bo Bichette is the perfect pairing with him, because just think about that elite batting average you're getting to start your draft. And you don't need a ton of stolen bases from Bichette because you're getting so many from Acuna. I don't know. I just think that's like a perfect pairing. And then kind of like what I was saying with Abrams, you can kind of go any direction you want with that second round pick.
Yeah, I like that call with Bichette a lot. Especially because it's kind of funny. He was a first round pick 2 years ago, right? I believe him and Lindor were going at the 15-16 turn 2 years ago, if I remember correctly.
I think he snuck up in the first round sometimes last year too.
Yeah, and I know he had it like everything you mentioned. He had a down year, especially with stolen bases. But I don't know. He's like 25, 26. I think he can recapture that. There's nothing in his profile I see that's any different than what he was. So mm-hmm. I think you're getting a discount of a guy that could be a potential first rounder, second rounder next year. And except you're getting him at a 38. My second player is going to be Xander Bogaerts. His ADP.
In a row.
I'm in on Xander Bogaerts. Okay. In last month, ADP 114. In doing more, I've done a few more drafts since we started this podcast this offseason, a couple weeks ago. And it sort of made me gravitate more towards Xander Bogaerts. He had 10 stolen bases in the second half of the season. Also at 310. Got off to a bit of a slow start, and he really wasn't great all year. He kind of just went nuclear in September. But I really like the profile of stolen bases with batting average. And that Padres lineup was so – it's kind of the same thing as Bo Bichette. Padres lineup was so bad last year. And, yeah, maybe it's not better, but I don't really think it could get any worse. Only 83 runs and 58 RBIs. I feel like those numbers can only get better playing with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis for another full season. Mm-hmm. Again, he literally never hits below 280. He's done it one time his entire career, aside from his rookie season. So you're getting at least a 280 batting average, 15 to 20 home runs. And like I said, he stole 19 bases last year with the new rules. Even if he gives me 12 to 15 steals, like 15-15 with a really good batting average. And I think he'll most likely have good runs or good RBIs. I think that's a really, really solid pick around 113, 115, especially because the shortstop landscape, like after that, is so shaky. I kind of feel like he's the last, and I don't really like Ha-Seong Kim. But after Bogaerts, I don't really love any of the shortstops going off the board.
Yeah, this is we were talking about him, I don't know, was a week ago or whatever after our second base pod. We were texting, and there's just so many shortstops where I like some things and I don't like some things. I'm unsure about this. For me, it's Bogaerts. You know, he's got the wrist issue that seems to pop up every single year. That park's not great for home runs, so you're probably not going to get a huge home run total from him. But you can also make the argument that he's essentially like a poor man's Bo Bichette, you know, where you're going to get the good average. You're going to get probably some more stolen bases than Bichette. So, you know, you got to like that. But how many are you going to get from him is kind of like where my questions come in. Is he going to steal 19 again? Is he going to steal 15? Is he going to steal 10? Like, I think all of those are in the range of outcomes, and where he's going, I definitely agree with you. It's a good spot to scoop up your shortstop there, because I 100% agree with you that it is brutal if you wait too long. If you're waiting until like after round 10, you're waiting to try to get a shortstop, it's tough.
Yeah, shortstop's bad, and it's really hard to get even past one pick, even past pick 150. It's really hard to get a guy with a good batting average that isn't just like a nothing and everything else.
Right.
So that's another reason why I really like Bogarts. So why don't you go your third shortstop?
Third shortstop is a guy we talked about in the second base pod. He's also eligible as shortstop, and I'm just going to go back. I'm going to be in on him again with here the shortstop. It's Matt McClain. ADP is 62. We kind of broke down in our second base pod why we like him, but I'll just kind of summarize it. Power speed combo, the park, where he hits in the lineup. He hit second, I think, every single game, and I just like that Reds lineup. I like the top half of that Reds lineup. I think it's going to be – they're going to be fun to watch, and I think that the counting stats are going to be there, and you put in the power-speed combo, and that's sign me up all day right there in the fifth round. We also talked about Nico Horner on that second base pod, and I still don't really understand why Nico Horner goes ahead of him sometimes. Obviously, stolen bases, but, you know, Nico Horner's just he's going to be a power drain, like no matter how you look at it. So I like Matt McClain in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I just think Matt McClain's an all-around really good hitter. I know all-around really good player. I know we talked about him a bit on our episode that we had Reggie on, I believe. We touched on McClain. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I agree with everything you said about him. I think that's a solid pick, and I need to start getting some shares because I don't have any as of right now. And I would like some. My third shortstop is going to be Trevor Story. And this is more of, again, the landscape of shortstop. Trevor Story is going to play every day. I know he was brutal last year when he came back from the elbow injury. He hit 203 with a 310 slugging. He was awful. But you got to remember he's coming off a major surgery, and we've seen – he got Tommy John, right? Or something close to Tommy John? It was elbow related?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, it was Tommy John.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgive me. I don't know exactly. Oh, it was Tommy John. Okay. So we've seen Max Muncy. We've seen Bryce Harper. Those guys, it took them a while to get back to hitting to their normal selves after they got the surgery. And, you know, before Trevor Story got hurt in 2022, he had 16 homers and 13 steals in 94 games. If he gives me anything even close to that on a per-game basis, around pick 175, I kind of think that's a pretty awesome pick. Yeah, the batting average might suck, but you're not drafting anyone after Story. Again, if you miss out on a shortstop, you're not drafting anyone after him that has – better homer speed upside with a good batting average. There's really nothing here that's going to come close to Story in terms of upside. So just for that reason, I'm really a fan of Story, and I think I'm a year removed from the Tommy John surgery. I think he comes close to going 20-20. The batting average might suck, but I don't know if I care.
Yeah, for that price, 175. You know, if you got batting average taken care of, that's a great pick. Power speed combo. I think he's more than 20 stolen bases. To be honest with you, I think we see maybe 30 stolen bases. 20-30. I think is definitely in the cards there for Story.
And Boston is a tremendous hitter's park for right-handers. I know he only hit 16 in about 100 games his first year in Boston, but I mean, he's hit 35 homers before in college. I know it's Colorado, but Boston's a really, really friendly hitter's park for right-handers, and I would not be surprised if he went – and again, I was saying he's going to do it, but I really wouldn't be surprised if he went 30-30. I think it's obviously a long shot, but if he did it, I wouldn't be shocked if he came close to going 30-30.
Yep, same here. I agree. Next guy, my fourth guy, is going to be a guy I'm out on. Another guy that we kind of mentioned in the second base pod. It's Tommy Edman. It pains me because I was all over Tommy Edman a couple years ago. There's just things have changed now. He's not going to be hitting leadoff, obviously, after last year. He didn't hit leadoff very much last year either with, Lars Nootbaar being there. And now you got Brendan Donovan healthy as well. So I think those two guys are probably going to occupy the top slot. So I think it leaves Edman down towards the bottom of the lineup. The power really has not come to fruition. I think he had 13 last year. So it's like, you can't really expect 15 really even. The speed is probably still be there, but we saw the batting average kind of come down as well. And they got him playing center field. I don't know. It's just the vibes are down for me with Tommy Edman. And even though at pick 162 is, a much better price than what he has been the last couple of years, I'm still going to be out on Tommy Edman.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Tommy Tanks is not not looking like the player that we liked a few years ago. But mm-hmm. No, I agree, especially because St. Louis has some players in the farm coming up. So I think if he struggles, I don't even think his job is secure in the second half of the season. That's an everyday player, so that's another really big worry.
I agree. Who you got for your fourth guy?
My fourth guy I'm in on. I tried to be a little more positive with this episode. Just bringing guys I'm in on. We're going to go with Willy Adames. In 2023, he had a bit of a down year. Homers, runs, RBIs, steals, batting average was all worse than the year before. But to be honest with you, I don't really see any difference in the player. Fly ball rate was the same. He almost hit the identical amount of barrels. Max EV is almost identical. Strikeout rate, identical. He walked a lot more, which is kind of weird. But I don't see why he can't repeat 2022. It's the same player to me. And in 2022, he hit 31 homers with 8 stolen bases and hit 238. And again, I know it's not sexy like Trevor Story. If he hits 230, 240, it's a low batting average. But 31 homers, 83 runs, 98 RBIs, and 8 steals, that's a really, really good season. And to get that, I pick 190. And again, it's kind of the same thing as Story. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but if you miss out on shortstop after these guys, there's just nothing there. And getting a player right around pick 200 that has the capability of going 30 homers, 5 to 10 steals, that you're just not going to find that in the draft. So I think Willy Adames is I'm going to have him on a lot of teams where I miss out on, O'Neill Cruz, C.J. Abrams, Bichette, Lindor, Seager. Teams that I don't have those guys on, I'm going to be drafting a lot of Willy Adames and Trevor Story.
Yep, I like that as well. Again, it's the shortstops, they all have a flaw, it seems to me, like after like the fifth round. And obviously with Willy Adames, it's the batting average. So as long as you got a strong batting average going in, the other four category, other three categories for sure, and then you hope you get the 8 to 10 steals, it's pretty solid. So I do have some Willy Adames already as well. So I'd like to hear that you are in on him as well. My last guy is going to be a guy that I'm in on, Ezekiel Tovar. I like the price, 196 ADP. I like the power speed combo. It's not going to be a ton. I don't think he's like a 30-30 guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a 15-20 season. Hits for a decent average. Hits in Colorado, so that's obviously a good thing. The counting stats are, I think they'll be okay. But he's young too, so I think there's still room for growth with him. He's still not to his peak yet. So I think if I really miss out on shortstop, or I'm looking for a middle infielder, and I'm okay with pulling the trigger on Tovar.
Yeah, I like that call. Tovar is very young. He's younger than C.J. Abrams. He just turned 22. Same thing as C.J. Abrams, too. He played 66 games at Double-A and 5 games at Triple-A. That's it. Straight to the majors. Like, that's like, of course he's going to suck his rookie year.
Yeah.
Like, he had a 287 on base percentage, 70 WRC plus. He didn't walk. He struck out a lot. Like, of course, he's a 21-year-old that has basically never played in the minor leagues, in the upper levels of the minor leagues. So, yeah, it's no surprise that he was bad. But I do really like that call. His counting stats were very good. I know it's Colorado, yeah, but still, 79 runs and 73 RBIs is very good for a player you're getting in that range of the draft.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
My fifth and final shortstop is going to be a buy. It's going to be Zach Neto of the Los Angeles Angels. I was a really big fan of him going into the season. I didn't think Luis Rengifo was a shortstop, so I had my eye on Neto. He got drafted literally last year and just went straight to the majors after playing a little bit in the minor leagues. And he was doing really well before he got injured. So listen to this. These were his numbers before he got hurt. His first 200 plate appearances in the big leagues, 55 games, roughly a third of the season. He had 6 home runs, 5 stolen bases. He was hitting 260, 87% zone contact, 27% chase. Those are like legit good numbers. 110 max EV, 40% hard hit rate, 90 mile an hour average EV. Like, these are like good numbers for a rookie that's only 22 years old. And then he gets hurt and misses a month. He comes back. This is fantastic podcasting. I know I had this in front of me. He comes back July 14th. And from July 14th to the end of the season, he hits 174, 262, 296, 54 WRC plus. He strikes out 31% of the time and has 3 homers and no steals in 30 games. So those numbers are really bringing down his overall stat line on the season because he was so horrendous the last 30 games of the season. He had an 89 WRC plus for the end of the year. He hit 225. And people are going to look at that and be like, ah, he wasn't really good in his rookie year. When he was very good, but those last 30 games just bring his stat line down so much that it makes it look like he wasn't any good. So I think you're getting a very generous discount at pick 270 just because he got injured. I think the fact that he's going below Vaughn Grissom and Luis Rengifo is kind of a joke. I think he's much better than those players. I think he should be going right around Tovar and Jeremy Peña. I like him more than Peña, but I would say Neto's going about 70 picks later than he should just because he got hurt at the end of last year.
Yeah, I definitely like him more than Peña as well. I agree with you there. Also, he had a 272 BABIP last year. So, you know, you got to expect that to come up a little bit. So, I like that call on Neto. Yeah, I guess before we switch over to third base and our five guys there, what are your, what are your general thoughts on shortstop?
I think I just pretty much painted a picture of the pocket I'm going to, pocket of players I'm going to pick from. I love the top 8 guys, even like Matt McClain and O'Neill Cruz. And then after Bogarts, it's kind of just like I'm picking my spots. So it's basically like I either get a shortstop in the first 100 picks or I wait 100 picks for Adames, Tovar, Neto, Story, someone like that. But you really need – I even found myself – I just did an NFBC 50 just to like – I like to keep drafting all off season and not really take too much time off. And I hadn't done a draft in a couple of weeks, so I wanted to just jump in, get more familiar with the player pool, everything. And I found myself wanting to take like Neto as my third shortstop just so like I don't need to take another one. Like Neto, J.P. Crawford – maybe grab like one of these guys that play everywhere, like a Zeke Duran, or you know, it's really not a good example, but I kind of want Neto as like my third shortstop, so I don't have to touch the position again, because after pick 300, it's brutal. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, I hear you there. It's funny, we didn't even mention Bobby Witt at all. Are you in on Bobby Witt at pick 2?
Yeah.
Third base.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a freaking stud.
I was I was always between him and J-Rod for that in that 2-3 slot, and I really like J-Rod as well. So I mean, it's close for me, but just after doing a lot of drafts, I have taken a lot of J-Rod at pick 2. That is a pick that I have gotten quite a bit as pick 2. I think I have had it maybe 4 or 5 times, and I got, I think, 3 J-Rod and probably 2 Witt. I think I'm Witt after kind of doing a lot of drafts, seeing all the shortstop pool. I don't like the shortstop pool very much. So I think I'm definitely have Witt as my number 2 off the board now. All right, third base. Why don't you get us going with third base? I'll let you start it off here.
Yeah, I mean, we're both in on this player, and it's Manny Machado. I just think you're getting a discount just because he got elbow surgery in the offseason, and he might not be ready to play defense on opening day. I'm not really worried. This guy hits 30 home runs literally every season. He hit 258 last year, but I really don't expect him to hit in the 250s again. Same thing as who was I talking about before? Willy Adames, where his numbers were a little worse across the board, but I really don't see any difference in the kind of player. Hard hit rate was almost identical to the year before. Barrel rate, identical. Max EV, average EV, all the batted ball data is almost the same. He struck out less. Going through his contact metrics, they're the same. I really don't see why he would go from – he was a first-round pick last year, right? Or, like, second-round pick? He was going very early.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why he'd go from first, second-round pick all the way down to pick 73. So I think, again, you're getting a very good discount on a guy just because he is dealing with some kind of injury that I don't think impacts his season next year.
Yeah, I had him as the second guy on my list just because I got another guy earlier in ADP, but I'll just kind of touch on Machado as well. It's the price and it's the track record. It's pretty plain and simple for me with Machado. It's funny. Everybody's been saying that Machado's going so late. He's going so late, but he just continues to go late. Usually when you get all these people talking about how he's going so late, he moves up. I just really haven't seen it that much, you know, maybe in a draft here and there he has, but I mean, you look at it right now, pick 73 on average since Christmas. So, it's a value that I think that, you know, people should be trying to take advantage of right now. And this is another prime example of why drafting early is beneficial in some ways. And, you know, when spring training comes, if he's out there in spring training and hits a rocket somewhere, it's like, there we go. Okay, now he's going all the way up because everybody's like, oh, he is healthy. Okay. So it's, you know, it's just for me, again, it's just the price and the track record there. And he fixed his issue, right? So he finally had his surgery. So, you know, he should be, you know, even if he does get a little delayed start to the season, he should be back, you know, really quickly from all everything we're hearing. So, who you got for your second guy?
For my second guy, you have someone higher in ADP, so why don't you go over that and okay. I'll do my second guy.
Yeah, I have Austin Riley that I'm in on. This is it kind of goes against my general philosophy where I don't like to chase RBIs early, but 97 RBIs last year, 93 the year before, 107 the year before that. So you're getting a consistent 90 plus year in and year out. The thing that I really, really like a lot about him is the batting average. You know, when he first came up, it looked like he was going to be a huge, huge batting average sink. But you look at the last 3 years, he's hitting 286. So, you know, sign me up all day. And then obviously you're getting the massive power, 37 last year, 38 the year before, 33 before that. And then 90 plus runs all 3 years, including 117 last year. So this is the area of the draft. This is another reason I do not like drafting at the back end. Even with drafting at the back end, I still like to take this guy because I just think having a good batting average with a massive power hitter is pretty rare. And I know we see a lot of people take Matt Olson, and his average was good last year. I don't expect the average to repeat with Matt Olson like I do with like they do with Austin Riley. So give me Austin Riley all day at that ADP as a you know, obviously a massive four category bat.
Let me ask you, if you have pick 15, would you think about pairing Austin Riley with Ellie De La Cruz?
It's definitely it would be in consideration.
Grabbing third base, shortstop, you get a ton of power and batting average with Riley, and you get the boatload of steals with Ellie that you're not getting with Riley. I was thinking about that pairing because you get third base and shortstop out of the way, and you're getting a whole lot of numbers there.
Yeah, it's definitely – if I'm going to take Ellie, it's definitely a player that I would be considering to pair with Ellie. I think I only have one Ellie share right now, but it was with – Yordan Alvarez. So it's kind of the same situation as Riley. You're getting a massive four category bat that doesn't run. It's kind of the same situation with Riley. So if I wanted Ellie at that 1-2 turn right there, Riley would definitely be in consideration. Now if this is a main event league, like we're close to March, this is like or close to the regular season, it's a big money draft, I'm probably going to move up a pitcher. So DC, yeah, I would definitely have that pairing. I like that.
We got some comments in the Twitter chat and the YouTube chat. Watchlist Mafia asked thoughts on Lindor. You're gonna have to go once the episode comes out. You're gonna have to go. We talked about him. I don't know, probably 5 minutes into the pod. So you have to go back and listen to what we say about Lindor.
And then I got it up here on the if everybody's watching on YouTube, I got it up here. I have question marks on the 30-30. Obviously, did it last year. I got burned. I'm prepared to get burned again. But I was always kind of viewed Lindor as a 25-15 kind of guy with like a 260 average. So he was one of my fades in the shortstop part of the pod. But obviously he just did 30-30, so he could easily happen again.
And Joe McHugh. Fish, I don't even know what this means. Fish looks like the white RZA in that hat. I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea either. What's up, Joe? I'm going to party with Joe in Vegas. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Joe's a good dude. I'm in a dynasty league with him. He's a funny guy. Now on to my second player at third base. It's Texas Rangers slugger, Josh Jung. He's not quite Austin Riley, but he's that same type of player, just like a monster power bat that is going to give you home runs, not a lot of steals, and I think will hit for a better average than you think. All in the minor leagues, he had very low strikeout rates, 16%, 16%, 21%, 21%. And then it wasn't until he got that major shoulder surgery that wrecked his 2022 season that his strikeout rate began to climb. It was 28% in AAA in 2022. And then he went to the majors. It was 38%. Last year, it was 29%. If you look at Austin Riley's rookie year, he struck out 36% of the time. And then it came down to 24%. It's kind of stayed in that range. We see a lot of times these rookies, they come up and their strikeout rates are really high. And then as they get older, it goes down and down and down even more. Granted, I realize Austin Riley was 22 as a rookie. Jung is 25 as a rookie. But if he didn't mess his shoulder up, he would have debuted in 2022. It's just that he had that massive injury that made him miss almost the entire season. I really think Jung could be like a 270-30 homer bat. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility. And that Texas lineup is so good. It's going to be batting behind Semien, Seager, Nate Lowe, guys that just constantly get on base. He's going to have a ton of RBIs. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to hit 30 bombs. And I really like the price that he's going at. He's currently pick 113. I mean, I've been, I think in the last two drafts, I've grabbed him. I think he's going to be a really, really good buy at that price.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything that you said. And I do have some Josh Jung. I have three shares. They were all in my early drafts. Because of the next couple guys that I'm going to be talking about here. But yeah, I definitely, you know, the Texas lineup, the power, I definitely agree there. The RBIs, the runs, like it should be a really solid three categories. He did hit 266 last year, but it came with a 340 BABIP. So, which seems like it's pretty high, but he is a pretty big line drive hitter. So, you know, maybe the BABIP is a little more sustainable, maybe not necessarily quite that high, but like you said, with the K rate, that could continue to fall as he becomes a little more experienced in the majors. So I definitely like him, but I just fell in love with, and this is a perfect segue to my guy that I about to talk about. I just fell in love with this next guy who's one of my most rostered players. It's Jake Berger. I think if you look at what Jake Berger did and you look at kind of, you know, what guys like Nolan Arenado, Josh Jung, Alex Bregman, you know, I don't dislike any of those other guys, but I mean, Jake Berger's going to pick 161 and everything about him was just fantastic. He hits the ball insanely hard. If you look at his XBA, I know some people like that stat, some people don't, but his XBA last year is 270. And, you know, the power, the fact that he's going to be an everyday player and he knows it, he can kind of relax this offseason and just focus on, you know, doesn't have to worry about playing time or anything like that. I don't know. I just think that we're primed for like a late career breakout, essentially. For somebody like Jake Berger, he's going to be 20, I think he's 27. You know, he's going to be 28 for the season. So April 10th is his birthday. So he's going to be 28. So I think we're set up perfectly for a late, you know, career breakout here for Jake Berger.
Yes. Sorry, I was muted. I was typing. I didn't want to interrupt you, but yes, I agree. I had Jake Berger on every single Fab team last year. Came up raked. He struggled a bit in the middle of the year, but then he ended the season playing great. And yeah, like you said, I think 35 homers is not out of the realm of possibility whatsoever. I like that call, Jake Berger. My third guy, I believe this is my third guy. Yeah, my third baseman is going to be Noelvi Marte, who I am in on. I think it's a very reasonable price, and I hate throwing out the term sleeper because it's so overused in fantasy circles, but I do think he's one of my favorite sleepers so far in the offseason. He's going around pick 170, and he just does everything well. In the minor leagues, he had walk rates above 10% at basically every single level. His strikeout rates were low at every single level. He came to the major leagues, and we get to see the skills. He had a 46% hard hit rate, which is well above league average. It's great to see. His max EV was 115, which is elite. And then you sort of look at how many ground balls he hit, and it's kind of the reason why in that ballpark he only hit 3 home runs in 35 games. If we see any type of, you know, and again, he's a rookie. It feels like we talk about these. It's just insane how much talent there is in Major League Baseball now with all these young kids. He's 21 years old. I think we see him, and again, it might not happen next year, might happen the year after, but I think given his price, a guy with a 115 max EV, good strikeout rate in that ballpark, that lineup, and he steals bases. This is like it's a five category player. And again, the full breakout might not happen next year. You know, you can't really predict those things, but I think, again, given the price, this is going to be one of my heavier targets. Once we get closer to the season, play the more high stakes leagues, I'm going to be all in on Nolan Marte.
Can he play second base at all, or is he strictly third?
He is strictly third and short. He does not play second base. He played one inning of second base his entire career.
Okay.
Minors and majors.
My only concern is unless they trade India, somebody's going to get, you know, kind of screwed out of some playing time here. They already came out and said Candelario is going to play pretty much every day, all over the place, but still in the lineup every day. You have Ellie, McLean. So, you know, you got Steer. There's just so many bodies there. The one thing I definitely like about him is he's going to be one of the only third basemen, you know, Ellie as well. J-Ram, maybe Brian Hayes, that's going to steal you a bunch of bases from third base as well. And just like McLean, with what you said, the park, the lineup, like everything is set up for just a big, big offensive year for the Reds. And they're going to be exciting to watch. They got guys that can run. They got guys that can, you know, hit. They have tons of power speed combos on that team. So yeah, I can get behind the Marte. I think I got a couple shares already. He was a little bit pricier early on. I think he might have dropped a little bit, just kind of with the Candelario signing. But yeah, you know, seeing like 10th round, 9th round shares. What is his ADP right now?
His ADP is 172.
172. Yeah. Okay. So he's got a wide range, 130. Men 210 max. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're in the right league, you can get a really good price on him right now. So I like that call.
Yeah. And I could be wrong. I don't think Jonathan India is any good. Roster Resource has him starting at DH and Christian Encarnacion Strand on the bench. I can't even tell you how ridiculous that is. Strand is so much better of a hitter. There's just no way India's DHing over him. It's not happening.
I totally agree.
I think India's a bench player, to be honest with you. And I kind of think that's why they haven't traded him yet, because nobody wants him. He's a bad defender. He's an average hitter. I see him as a bench player or a weak side platoon bat. So I am not worried about India whatsoever. I think Nolan Marte is a stud. And he's just their future third baseman. I think Ellie, McLean, and Nolan Marte and Candelario are locked into the infield. People think this is going to be this revolving door. I think the outfield is going to be much more of a revolving door. I think the infield's set. I don't know why those guys would move off the position. You know, maybe some days Heimer plays second or third and Nolan DHs, CES plays first. You know, maybe that is a revolving door. But I think it's the same guys playing. They're just playing different positions. I don't see India taking playing time away from anyone in that infield. He's just not good.
Yeah, it would be nice if they could just find a trade partner so that we really don't have to worry about it. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, that again, another benefit of drafting early is because if India does get traded, Marte's going to shoot up and, you know, he's going to be up in those top 10 rounds. So, yeah, I like that. My fourth guy is going to be a guy that might be my most rostered player. I love third base. If you haven't been able to tell yet, all five of my players I have here are buys. I don't really have a fade. I mean, there's guys, obviously, I probably wouldn't take at ADP, but I don't really hate the picks. But this guy I have 11 shares of. It's kind of a little bit ridiculous. That's getting a little bit out of control, but I can't take him enough. I mean, he's going to pick 180. It's Max Muncy. The power, the RBIs, the runs, this is kind of where I was getting at, where my early picks are always generally stolen base guys. I want to build my batting average because then you can take guys like Max Muncy and get a massive three category bat at pick 180 and not be overly concerned about the batting average. Obviously, the batting average is not good. But if you draft your team so that the batting average won't kill you, like you're not already behind in batting average and then taking him, then you're fine. It's okay to have one or two guys that are like this. Max Muncy's, I think he might come up every single at bat and there's going to be guys on base this year. I mean, it's so insane that top half of that lineup for the Dodgers. So obviously that's a joke. He's not going to come up every single time with a run in scoring position. But anyways, you get what I'm saying. I'm all in on Max Muncy.
Yeah, I like that call. We talked about Muncy on the, when did we talk about Muncy? He's not a second baseman, is he?
No. Was it first base?
Oh, I guess. Did we just talk about buys and fades?
Oh, buys and fades, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the episode with Reggie, I talked about Max Muncy. I'm all in. Totally agree with you. I couldn't draft enough Max Muncy. That's a great call. My fourth third baseman is going to be a rookie, another really young player, Junior Caminero. I kind of slacked on my prospect deep dives last year because I was so focused on trying to win the OC overall, trying to win my first main. I kind of just wasn't thinking about Dynasty. I was just all in on redraft last year. So guys that are no prospects and other stuff are going to like listen to this and be like, yeah, duh. But this Junior Caminero kid is just, he's unbelievable. Last year as a 19-year-old in high A and double A, he hit 31 homers in 117 games. And in double A, he had a 17% strikeout rate. 31 homers and a 17% strikeout rate in double A at 19. And then he comes up to the big leagues. He has a 112 max EV. I know I say this all the time, but he hits the shit out of the ball. If you just watch him, he's got like this fucking wild swing. He's just swinging as hard as he can every fucking time he swings. I love it. you go look at his home run to fly ball rates in the minor leagues. They're absurd. 25%, 34%, 23%. And everyone's worried like, oh, the Rays are so, you know, this team is so, there's so many players, it's so clustered, but they brought him up in September to give their offense a boost. And you don't do that with just like any kind of player. I think they really believe that he's going to make an impact on the team next season. The Rays have Jose Cavallaro as their starting shortstop, and their backup shortstop when he's healthy is Taylor Walls, who blows. So once those two guys aren't any good, Jose Caballero hit 220 last year with the 320 slugging. He's not good. So once Caminero, I don't think he's going to start the year in the major leagues. I think he gets like 1 to 5 weeks, let's say, of seasoning in AAA. And then once Caballero is not any good or someone goes in the IL on the Rays, they're going to call him right up. And I think he's going to be like an immediate impact. I'm not saying that this is going to happen next year, but the type of player I expect them to be is Corey Seager. Like 300 average, 30 homers. I don't expect many steals. He's not really a stolen base kind of guy, but that's what I expect him to be. Like when he's 23, 24, 25 years old, I expect him to be Corey Seager. And I haven't really been taking prospects with the first 250 picks in my drafts. Like in years past, we've had to take Corbin Carroll was, what, a fourth-round pick last year?
Yep.
Gunnar Henderson was a fifth-round pick. Bobby Witt the year before was a fourth-round pick. So this Caminero kid, you're taking him around pick 220. And it's kind of the same thing as Nolan Marte has a wide range. He's gone all the way to 250 as early as 180. I don't have my the 50 I just did. I don't know where I got him recently. But I just think he's a freak. He's an absolute freak, and you don't have to pay a price for it. I don't really care. Oh, that's Jaime Candelaria. That's not even fucking Junior Caminero. I'm not even looking at where is he going? Oh, 228. I'm sorry. It's right below. 228, not 217. So, yeah, he's gone as low as 315. He could have gotten him in the 300s. Again, I've said everything I wanted to say, but he's going to be a very, very good baseball player. I would love it if he doesn't make the team, honestly, because that means his price will go down or he'll get dropped at a fab league, and I will scoop him up and I'll hold him until he comes up.
Yeah, and he should gain shortstop eligibility, you would think, too, right? If he comes up, he's probably going to play short. So that's even, you know, even more of a reason to take him, especially in draft champions leagues where you're drafting for your whole season. I can get behind that.
And additionally, Brandon Lowe is coming off even though I like Brandon Lowe, he's coming off a broken kneecap. If he gets hurt again, and he is very injury prone, Caminero would just come in and play second base. So there's just so many opportunities for me. I think so many opportunities for him to just come in and play.
Yeah, I agree. My last guy is kind of seems to be the theme of the night. Another Cincinnati Red. The park, the lineup. I just think that this team is again just set up for such a big season. Offensively hitting in that park, it's Candelario. Again, they just came out and said he's going to play every day, regardless where it is. And the other thing that's nice is he might gain eligibility somewhere else while bouncing all over the infield. So, you know, that's obviously a bonus, but, you know, he's going off the board at 217. I just want a piece of that lineup at that pick. I just want a piece of good lineups at that pick that are going to play every day. And I think he fits that bill. And, you know, I had him last year, 30th round, my main event. I was like, all right, I'll take Candelario. You know, he's going to play every day. And then he was awesome with Washington before, you know, getting traded over to the Cubs. But I don't think he's going to have like a massive, massive year. But I just think, you know, the everyday production in that lineup could lead to, a decent average. 20-ish home runs, 20 to 25 home runs and good counting stats. So I like that pick at 217 where he's going.
Yeah, I think any part of that lineup, like you mentioned, is going to be – they're going to score a lot of runs next year, a lot of runs. So it's definitely going to be a very exciting offense to be a part of. My last player, it's another buy. It's going to be Matt Chapman. He's going around pick 266. And same thing as Muncy. Yeah, the batting average is probably going to be shit. He's hit 240, 230, 210, 230 the last 4 years. But the previous two seasons, he hit 27 home runs, 27 and 27. And his barrels went way up.
Yes.
Like way, way higher than the year before. And again, he could regress and do the same thing he did the previous 2 years, but still that resulted in 27 home runs. So, I expect him to hit 25, home runs next year are 25 to 30, whatever.
Yep.
I don't know why you'd think anything else. And I've seen a lot of people try to like kind of find a reason as to why he didn't hit home runs per barrel. But if you kind of look at his 2023 hit spray chart on Baseball Savant, I really like this feature. Just kind of shows you the to the top right corner. When you go to a player's page, it just shows you where – just shows you what kind of hitter they are. Mm-hmm. It has single, double, home run, and it shows where they are. And he hit a lot of home runs and doubles to right field. But even in doing so, he hit so many – and again, you just see his doubles, those purple dots. Look how many of them went so far. It looked like he just missed a home run by like 5 to 10 feet. I don't know, 12 times. And it, to me, that's just like unlucky. Like, yeah, he might not be great at getting backspin on the ball or whatever, and it might not be traveling as far for that reason, but it just looks like so many of the doubles he had were just missing home runs. And that's the kind of thing that's just going to even out over the course of, you know, more games. So I think I guess it depends where he goes. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't signed yet because he's a very, very, very good player. Real life-wise, he's a 4-win player the last 3 seasons. So he's going to get a good amount of money. I don't really think it matters where he goes, but I would be interested to see what team picks him up. And again, I expect 230 average and 25 to 30 homers. And if he hits as many barrels as he did last year, he could hit even more home runs.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want my Brewers to sign him, but they decided Christian Arroyo is going to be a better fit, apparently. So
that would actually be a really good signing for them. That's exactly what they need.
Yeah, I mean they just signed Rhys Hoskins, which is beautiful because they needed a first baseman, and now they should go get a third baseman. And you know, I'm trying to think of the last elite third baseman the Brewers have had. It's probably Jeff Cirillo, like 2 decades ago, who was a big fan of. Oh yeah, he was great. But I mean, it's been not a good position for the Brewers, I feel like, for, you know, a while. So
who was the third baseman last year? Brian Anderson.
Yeah, Brian Anderson. Then they finished with what's his name, came over from the Yankees, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, he was awful. My God.
So it's, I mean, he had some big hits for the Brewers, but it's like, you know, come on, let's just get somebody over there that can stick there for a couple of years. It's good defensively. You can hit the ball out of the yard. Well, here we go. Matt Chapman. Let's go. But yeah, I don't know what the Brewers are doing. So,
well, I hope for your sake they signed Chapman, but it's going to be interesting how much money he gets and where he goes. Did you say your fifth yet? Did I go first?
My fifth was Candelario. So my five are in. They're all buys for me. I love this position. This is my favorite position. There's so many targets, so many picks where I'm like, yes, I like that pick. I like that pick. I can kind of just play the waiting game a lot of the time because if I miss out on, you know, Berger, I can still get Muncy. So it's, you know, I don't know. I have 9 shares of Berger, 11 shares of Muncy. I actually have 5 shares of Austin Riley, which kind of high for, you know, that early of a pick, a little higher than I would like. But yeah, there's a lot to like about this position.
Yeah, I totally agree. Some later guys I like too. It's much, much better than shortstop.
Yep, absolutely. For sure. Alrighty. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
And that's it. I think we can wrap it up. Another episode in the books.
Yep. Good stuff. Going forward, we're going to continue to do kind of what we did tonight. We're going to just kind of, instead of going every single player, we're just going to kind of mush it all together. Outfield, we might maybe we'll do one episode on outfield. Maybe we'll do two. There's so many of them. And obviously we have starting pitchers. So we'll figure that out down the road. But yeah, I think that should wrap it up for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will catch you next time. Thank you for once again tuning into another episode. Ryan and I appreciate the support. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Pile of Dial. Ryan is at Ven_Armbarn. In the words of the living legend Jay-Z, remind yourself, nobody's built like you. You design yourself. Peace.